destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tybus. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
One of the five best rappers of all time.
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Good morning, go to hell. Tybus, how you doing today, bud?
Wagwan, you bless?
Yes. Das Vidanyev is what I don't know.
Was that Russian?
I think so. I think that's, well, that's where we're all headed, right? I think Russia is where I don't know what's going on. Me and geopolitical stuff. Right in lockstep. I know what's going on.
Don't get in politics. You know, everybody's up in arms about the vaccine shot and all that. That was
that was the big thing.
You got
that.
Stephen A. apologizing to Kyrie Irving on his podcast.
That's fine. He can apologize to Kyrie. He should apologize to all of us for being Stephen A. Smith for the last 20 years. It's annoying as hell.
By the way, I need it to be known, now that Tybus has enough hair to be cut, he got a cut 2 days ago. Tybus, your hair looks good.
It does.
Thank you.
Really does.
You know what's crazy is that as I was looking, I just had this conversation with my wife last night. I was looking at my haircut and I was thinking to myself, do I really want this to be the look that I do this year for football season? Because I wasn't really that much of a fan.
You don't like this haircut?
No.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I outgrown it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to decide what do I want to do for football season.
Perfect answer. You just Google B.A. Baracus.
I don't know what that is.
Google him.
Is it safe for?
Yes, okay. It's safe for work. Google B.A. Baracus. That's what you need to look like when you go on.
Baracus.
Yeah. A-team.
Film crew.
A-team.
Get out of here.
The A-team. Mr. T. Yes. You need to get the mohawk with the sides, burns. Yes. Do it.
Miss me.
Do it.
I love how he said he outgrew his haircut.
Yeah.
Outgrew it. The look.
No pun intended.
Did you? Serious question. Have either of you ever watched The A-Team? Like the show The A-Team that Mr. T was on?
No.
I watched the movie.
Rocky? Yeah, like the one that came out a few years ago that had wasn't the MMA guy that played B.A. Baracus? I forget who it was. It was some MMA fighter, big dude, who they had play the Mr. T role.
I know Terry Crews was in it at the end. He's shooting two A-12 shotguns at the same time. It was badass.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about that.
What's crazy about the A-Team, see, I watched it when I was a kid, and obviously this show is almost 40 plus, 50 plus years old.
You're talking about Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage Jackson. Yeah, that's who it was. He played the B.A. Baracus role in the A-Team. And I growing up as a kid, I thought the A-Team, when I saw it, was awesome. You ever heard the phrase, I love it when a plan comes together? That's from the A-Team. That's like, they're Hannibal, the lead guy, the old guy, he'd have a cigar in his mouth, and like something would go awry, and everything would finally work out at the end, and it would be a whole bunch of luck and different things. I love it when a plan comes together. That's the A-Team.
You want me to walk around with a mohawk?
Yes. Absolutely right.
On national TV.
Uh-huh.
Did you know local TV?
You know what the running joke was on the A-Team with B.A. Baracus, Mr. T? Mm. See, I'm just going to give you useless A-Team trivia now. The running joke with him was that he hated to fly. He was like the toughest guy. He was like, when they got into fights, he was the guy that was the like meanest dude. You don't want to, don't make him mad, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he would go, he refused to fly. And so they would always have to give him something in a drink to knock him out. So they have to roofie this guy, basically knock him out, drag him onto the plane. And then of course he'd wake up, they'd be in like Nicaragua and he'd, how dare you? And he'd be so pissed off that like he had been drugged to get on the plane. But they're like, well, we had to do it because you won't fly. And so that was their justification for drugging one of their fellow men.
When did this come out?
The A-Team, I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Dang.
It was on NBC. Like it was
druggy.
Yeah. But that was, I'm telling you, the A-Team, at least go see the newer one that came out. But if you go watch an old episode of the A-Team, I don't know. I found it enjoyable. The way You know what it was? The whole idea, Tyvus, was they were all special forces, like guys who were elite, guys and a gal who were like, you know, big deal. They knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. They'd all been Suicide Squad.
A little bit. They were like kicked out of the military. So they were like not on the, they tried to stay under the radar of the military because they were not exactly liked by the military.
The fool.
Yeah, that's there you go. That's exactly him.
Mr. T was in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah, he's the dad. He's the police officer voice.
And so was Jeff Rimmer.
Yeah, Jeff Rimmer. That's Jeff Rimmer. That's Cloudy. That's Cloudy too. But yes, he's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too. No, but if they, the whole thing was like, if you can find them, they will help you out. So you'd always get these people who are like, I've got somebody knocking on my door late at night, and I don't know. They're leaving notes that my husband's been kidnapped, and I don't know where he is, and I can't find him. And then they'd have, that's what they would do, is they'd track down whoever kidnapped this person's husband, and they'd, you know, go try to. But no one, famously in the A-Team, no one ever died. Every show, you would see them, like, have massive car accidents or big fights. But whenever it came time to, like, do the fighting, there might even be gunplay, but a guy would just get shot and fall down, and then they'd always show a cut of him like going, ugh, and like moving around. No blood. It was very like safe for TV. Even if there was a massive car accident, they'd always have a shot of the guy crawling out of the car, even if it's on fire, just to be like, don't worry, he made it out alive. He's not dead. We didn't kill anybody on NBC, apparently. That was the rule. Yeah. A-Team. Go look it up.
It ran from 83 to 87, by the way.
Yeah. So there's your haircut.
No.
B.A. Baracus.
No, I'm going to pass.
All right, if you've got suggestions for what Tyvus's hair should look like coming up on BT and Tailgate this year when he does that, just tweet it to us, at Bone and Tyvus 971. Tweet us a picture. Or put in the YouTube chat, put the name in there. Just give us something that we can go reference, because you've got to talk to your barber, who apparently you have to drive all around Columbus to find. And then once you find him, show him the picture and say, do this. Paint me like one of your French girls. Like, you show him the picture, and then he'll do it for you.
By the way, I didn't know that reference till about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Titanic.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Jack and Rose. Then she leaves him because she's like, I'm sorry, this door is too wide for two people. And he's like, too wide? She's like, shh. Okay.
You know, a lot of people say that. he doesn't really make an effort to get on the
door. No, he doesn't want to. He's like, I'm kind of done with her anyway. It's just enough for me to freeze to death.
It's that point right there that makes that movie dumb to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not realistic. There's two things in that movie that's just not realistic.
Two.
Try
200.
Two. I do want to point out this actually did occur. Not like the story in Titanic,
but I guarantee this didn't happen.
How did they not see that iceberg? No, they didn't. That really happened.
No, that's not the part. You think the band played as everybody?
Oh, that's real. They said that happened.
Listen,
they were
the whole time.
They said they played. They said they played.
I don't mean to bring this up, but
okay.
You know how you hear stuff.
I'm very interested to see where this goes.
You just know that ain't my ethnicity.
What does this mean? Could you imagine?
Let him finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just imagine the Jackson 5 is on the boat and it's going down.
Okay.
You think Michael going to say, let's just get out here and just keep sinking? No.
Sure he would.
They're going to be flipping tables over, something to float on. Ain't nobody just going to just play.
I'm sure they did eventually.
Makes no sense.
No, it was a women and children first, and then they quickly realized there's not enough boats for everybody. And so
we just gonna play.
There's honor.
Michael just gonna moonwalk on you as the boat going down.
Yeah, he just, baby, give me one more chance while the boat's going down.
I doubt it.
Oh, trust me. Well, at least wherever, if it was a boat full of children, Michael Jackson would have said, let me get on that boat. I gotta find a way. I gotta find a way to be on that boat. You need to go. No, because he thought he was a child. Remember, he had a stunted growth. Yes. He thought he was like a 12-year-old.
Those are his friends.
Those are his friends. Yes. They're just 12-year-old friends that he has sleepovers with, yes, and allows them to drink Jesus juice with. It's just out of a Coke can.
Allegedly.
So no one would ever. Help. Yes. Whatever.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
You're not going to do
allegedly.
Michael like that.
I can do Mike however I want. I can listen to his music and also acknowledge that dude was creepy as F. Yes. All right? And he can still be a great pop star, and I could still have my questions about what the hell was going on.
Yeah. Michael Jackson and OJ, innocent in a court of law, T-Bone. You remember
that. That's right.
That.
Innocent in a court of law. And that's fine. Lots of people have been innocent in a court of law. I agree with that.
We're the fan. We love summer as much as the next guy. Fun times at the pool, family vacations, all that crap. But as the dog days descend upon us, it only means one thing. Buckeye Football Fall Camp. Join us beginning August 6th. You are listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus. They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
Coming up on October 25th, Buckeyes are going to host Butler basketball in an exhibition game at the Shot. Obviously, a lot of history between both those programs. Jake Diebler coaching here, his brother John coaching as an assistant at Butler. And a man who knows a lot about the history of both those places joins us now on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thad Mata, thank you for taking the time this morning, Thad. How did it hit you when you knew that this exhibition game was going to happen?
It was kind of funny because Jake had always asked me to come back over there, and I said, there's no way I'm coming back over there and playing a game. And he said, well, let's do an exhibition game. And so it had been in the works for a while, and I'm excited to see it. It should be a great early season contest. Now, these exhibition games have taken on lives of their own. It's amazing what's going on now in the preseason.
You know, Coach, when you look at these exhibition games, what are you looking to accomplish? What should, you know, players be trying to get done? What is coaches looking to get done in these games?
Well, I think, because they are so early now, you're still trying to figure out your team. And college basketball has changed so much because, you're literally practicing in the summer now. And so you've got a better understanding. I know Ohio State's on their way to Puerto Rico, I believe, for a summer trip. But I think in those games, you want to get guys experience. You want to get your new guys experience. And so many times now in college basketball, you've got like a completely new roster. And so, getting guys out there playing together, that sort of thing, I think is huge. Playing in front of people. Because you used to have the what they call the closed or private scrimmages, and there were no fans in stands. So I think they're a great thing to have right now, and obviously, the Butler Ohio State game will be a great test for both teams.
Have you ever been in one of these exhibition games and something shocked you that you wasn't aware of or you wasn't ready for from one of the players? Good or bad? Good or bad?
I'll tell you a great story. We had gone down to play Hugs at West Virginia in a secret scrimmage one time. And I'll never forget, we're down one with, 30 seconds left. I take a timeout. And this kid named D'Angelo Russell says, hey, look, we're winning this damn game. And we got a 3-hour bus ride. And I'm going to enjoy the ride home. He hits the game winner. And I think he ended up with 33 in the scrimmage. And we get on the bus. And I turn to the coach. And I said, look, find us another point guard. And they're like, what? I said, he's out of here at the end of the season. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, did you guys just see what I did? He's a pro. And so at that moment, I knew D'Angelo was only going to be in Columbus for a little while. And I'll never forget, that was like one of the shockers there.
Yeah, Thad Mata joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. No, I think of guys like him from your tenure here at Ohio State. There's a guy that every time I flip on an NBA game and I see Mike Conley Jr. still running around, still making plays, still being a leader, all that stuff, I think, God, like it's amazing to me as a fan, because I remember how long ago that was in my personal life watching him play. For you, having coached him, when you see that, I mean, what does that feel like when you flip the game on? You still see, I think he's with the Celtics now. Mike Conley's still out there getting it done.
It's amazing because I remember when I recruited Michael. The first time I saw him play, first three times I saw him play, I left the gym and I didn't know if he was right-handed or left-handed. And I get in my car and I'm driving. I'm like, you big time college basketball coach, you don't even know what handy is. And it was because he was ambidextrous. And I remember saying, like, I knew how good he was. And I remember when like they first got to Columbus in the summer and the guys were playing against our vets, and J.J. Sullinger comes into my office after, he goes, "Hey, the little kid that came with Odin, he's really good." And I said, "No, I know he's the best point guard in the country." And you know, Michael just has one of those bodies. I swear he could play till he was 50 if he wanted to, you know, just his genes from his dad being an Olympian and that sort of thing. But it's amazing. And you know, the thing with Michael, that all he's done for the NBA, you know, he's won the Sportsmanship Award several times, and just the most humble kid, and so happy for him.
You know, Coach, obviously the new thing is the format of March Madness. Obviously, it got expanded from 68 to 76 in 2027. Were you a fan of that or what? Where were you at with that?
I am. I think, I remember, back in the 90s, Coach Knight used to say, let everybody in the tournament. And you've got programs now that, like, they don't even qualify for the conference tournament. I think Big Ten's a conference like that, right? Some teams only go to the conference tournament. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I get the whole, but, you know, everything is so analytical now. And it's you know, everything's judged by rankings and computers and that sort of thing. And I just think it gives, you know, just the opportunity for things to happen. And your cream's always going to rise to the top. Your best teams are going to make it to the Final Four, typically. And you know, the days of, God, I think it was 2011, you think about this. It was Butler, VCU, UConn, and maybe Kansas in the Final Four. And three of the four teams were not going to go to the tournament with 1 week left in the season. They all had to win the conference tournament to get in. And that was Butler, VCU, and UConn. And they did. That was the time I think UConn won 5 games in 5 days or whatever and ended up winning the national championship. But I think the more the better. And gosh, make it fun, make it exciting, and let kids play.
Thad Matta joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Obviously, some of the other things that have changed in college basketball, college sports, the bigger picture, the NIL and portal system, the combination of those two. You've coached in the era well before that, and you've coached in that era now, obviously. So how did that change your approach, or did it, over the, you know, 20 plus years of your career?
Oh, man. I tell you what, it probably forced me to another retirement, to be honest with
you.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, back in the day, like, we knew who was cheating, okay? And so we wouldn't recruit against them. And we just, okay, if they're going to recruit him, then we'll go another direction and we'll find this guy. And I think the biggest thing that I enjoyed, you know, back in the day, like at Ohio State, was developing guys. And year after year, seeing the progression, seeing the growth, and them becoming, you know, players. And you know, those days now are kind of gone. You know, I used to tell the story in recruiting, you know, the top 50 greatest all-time NBA players, how many of them transferred in college? And there was one, and that was Larry Bird. And he technically didn't transfer. He quit at Indiana and then went to Indiana State. So, you know, the days of sticking it out and making it, you know, getting through the challenges and making yourself tougher and that sort of thing are kind of gone. You know, I think in terms of the NIL, you know, we didn't have a lot of money here at Butler. We were last in the Big East, and that was challenging. And I think just from the standpoint of it obviously missed its opportunity. I don't know what's right or wrong. I think, you know, kids getting money is good, but this thing is now just pay for play, and it's completely out of control.
Who's a guy that at Ohio State, if NIL were a thing? Is there a guy, like you mentioned D'Angelo Russell earlier, he's a pro from day one, you saw that, but the money now keeps some guys, at least they consider college sports a little bit more. Do you think there's anybody that may have been more considerate of that or who would have benefited from NIL?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine what Aaron Kraft would have made? I mean, you saw, I mean, everywhere I turned, there was an Aaron Kraft jersey or whatever, but, and that was the intent of NIL. You know what I'm saying? That was the paid for your worth of what you bring. But, you know, I think back to guys that, like DeSean Thomas or LaQuentin Ross, who left early and they were second round picks. And, you know, those, it was good for them, but it probably cost us as a team a lot, where those guys could have made more money probably than they made by declaring for the draft. You know, I can't even fathom what Greg Oden would cost in today's day and age. I mean, my gosh. But no, you are saying it, where some kids are opting to stay in college because they're making more money than they'd make in the NBA.
You know, Coach, obviously you had a wonderful career here at Ohio State as the coach. Is there a moment that comes to mind? What's the first moment when you think about your coaching career at Ohio State, and why is it Matt Sylvester?
That is it to a T. I mean, that game against Illinois was a defining moment for our tenure at Ohio State. And you know, that was year one. Year two, we win the Big Ten. Year three, we play for the national championship, and then we just went on a heck of a roll there. And but that shot by Matt was still to this day, I've still got the picture in my office at home, and that was a moment that I will never ever forget. There's no question about that.
Did you draw that play up?
I did. I don't know. You've never heard the story. I take it. But, you know, the whole gist of the thing was in game prep, I was trying not to get blown out because Greg, Michael, and Daquan were supposed to be at the game. So it's like, hey, we got to keep this thing close. I don't think we're going to win, but the closer, the better. So we're down, I think we're down 14-0. We were going to trick the number one team. We opened up in zone, and I called the timeout, and I turned to the coach and said, you think we've tricked them enough? We're down 14-0. Let's do what we do. And so long story short, we get the rebound. We're down two, and Brandon Fuchs-James bringing the ball up the floor. Like, there's 30 minutes left in the game. So I sprint to half court, tell him to get the ball there, take the timeout. I turned to the staff. I said, look, what do you guys want to do? And they said, go down low to Dials, go down low to Dials, go down low to Dials. I said, look, fellas, do you want to play the best team in college basketball for five more minutes? I said, the hell with that. We're going for the win. And so drew the play up where we ran, I think it was Tony as a decoy, popped in Matt for the Terrence screened in for Matt for the shot. He knocked the shot down. The rest was history. And but no, I was going for the win on that one. There was no chance I was going to overtime.
No. Yeah. No. And what a great moment it was. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, those moments. I was on the phone with my then girlfriend, who became my wife eventually, and she thought our family was like having a disaster because I was watching with my dad and my brother, and we're screaming our heads off. She's like, "What's going on? Is everything okay?" And I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Ohio State beat Illinois. And she's like, you're going to have to contextualize that for me because I'm not a big basketball. Hey, Dad, thank you for the memories. Thank you for the conversation today. And hopefully we'll see you here in Columbus on October 25th when Butler and Ohio State square off. But thank you for the time this morning.
I appreciate it, guys. Good luck, man.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com.
In the military.
Best of T-Bone and Tybus. Yes, this is pre-recorded, but Tybus is so dedicated, he's still here running the board. The Fan.
Normally, we give you a bunch of like, hey, got other stuff to talk about. Hey, this coming up, that's coming up. We don't have time for that right now. We got stuff to do.
The best, the worst, and sometimes even the dumbest. It's all here on The List.
Sponsored by Baths R Us. Go to BathsRUs.com to schedule your free estimate. Baths R Us, where dreams soak in.
All right, today on The List, we're going old school. Because sometimes on The List, we all just kind of throw out ideas. Today, solid top five. For each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Top five fast food items of all time. And I tell you, I wrestled with this last night. I wrestled with this morning. I was still in the break wrestling with this, trying to make sure I got my list correct. I don't even know if I got it settled. But
mine hit me just 15 seconds ago, and I was going to kick myself if I didn't have this in the list.
I got to ask you guys a question about your list real quick. Okay. Did you exclude breakfast items?
I did.
I did too.
Okay.
I went no breakfast on mine.
Okay.
Like I've said, I mean, I love some breakfast items. We do get them here.
What breakfast item do you...
A.M. Crunchwrap.
A.M. Crunchwrap is the one. I'm with Dylan. although, Tyvus, you got me onto that Chick-fil-A, the wrap.
Yeah,
that wrap is great. It's great. I've had it before. Like you were the first one that told me to get that, and I have to acknowledge that is a very good thing, but it did make my top five. Now, part of how I did my top five, I'm just going to say, was I thought about if I was constructing every one of these is kind of like a different food item. Like I didn't put three hamburgers on here. You know what I mean? Which some people do. That's fine. If you do your list that way, that's fine.
No,
I'm telling you how I did mine.
I don't got it like that.
I have mains, sides, beverages. I have the whole thing. All right. So my number five, greatest fast food item of all time for me. Number five, the Wendy's Frosty. Chocolate, of course, is the preferred way to go if you're getting vanilla Frosties.
I ain't had that Frosty.
You're a psychopath.
8 years.
Should be investigated by the FBI. What are you doing?
You don't like the vanilla one?
Why would you? It's chocolate Frosty. That's what it is.
Don't do this.
No, what do you mean don't do this? That's the best.
Don't do this. I respect you on that one, but the vanilla one was elite.
Is that right?
Yeah, the whites are good.
Okay.
Okay, Joshua.
Okay.
The vanilla one was
Joshua, this is a Joshua Perry food take here.
I got to ride with Joshua. He was right on the vanilla Frosty was elite. It is not even, it's not even up for discussion. No,
it's still there. You could go get it. That's how terrible it is because you don't even go get it.
I had a Frosty period in 8 years. Fine. Number five for me, Taco Bell. Nacho fries.
Oh, nacho fries. Do love a nacho fry.
Yeah.
And didn't have them on my list, but very good.
Shame on you.
Well, I got some fries on here for you.
Shame on you.
I got some fries on here. Just wait. You're going to find out. I'm not spoiling it, Tyvus.
Rally. If it ain't rallies, it's wrong.
Oh, well, it's about to be wrong.
My number five is a little bit of a hot take. I prefer the McDonald's Quarter Pounder over the Big Mac. So give me QPC.
I agree with you.
At number five.
I want to say.
That ain't no high take because I agree with you.
Listen.
I ain't had a Big Mac in like 20 years.
We are all in agreeance because my number four, as I had written down before we got into this segment, McDonald's Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Hell yeah.
So, dude, I'm right there with you. Throw the Big Mac out as far as I'm concerned. If you got rid of that, I'm good. Don't get rid of that Quarter Pounder. Don't get rid of that Double Quarter Pounder because truth be told. That's where I'm going.
And guess let's get crazy. Double Quarter Pounder with cheese and bacon is what I get when I go to McDonald's.
Well, it's funny.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that you two said this because it leads me to my number four. And it's going to make you upset, but it shouldn't.
Okay.
Because it's better. The Bacon King from Burger King.
Oh, I'm not fighting that.
Bacon King is good.
That is essentially a Double Quarter Pounder with cheese with bacon.
Oh, you know what?
That's fair.
I think you shouldn't be allowed to put it on your list, though, because you can't eat the whole thing.
Yeah, that is
That
true.
Is also, yes, that is also that a is fair true. Point, Dylan. Point to you for that. We're going to do, what was the show that they used to have on ESPN where they awarded points? I would award 1,000 points to you.
Around the horn.
Around the horn. We have points. I want to award you 1,000 points for that. Good job. What's your number four, Dylan?
My number four is the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich. I know you guys say that it used to be better.
Yeah,
it's still good to me. It's still the best chicken sandwich in the game to me.
It lost it.
You know, I have to come clean here. I do love some chicken sandwiches. I don't have a chicken sandwich on my list.
Oh, your list is
flawed. It's not. It's good.
Actually, the next three things is all chicken related.
Okay. My number three, Taco Bell's cheesy gordita crunch.
That is pretty good.
That thing with the soft shell, the cheese melted in, the hard shell, and then a full on, you get the Baja sauce on it and the lettuce. It'll make you have explosive diarrhea.
It's my favorite thing from Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's mine, so that's my number three.
But I would take what I'm about to say over this.
Okay.
And you probably have never experienced it. And it's a shame because if you went up 71, you get it all the time. The hot and spicy McChicken sandwich from McDonald's. My goodness.
Do you know how angry I am that I can't put it on my list? Because I've never had it, Tyvus.
I know. They need
I'm
to bring
so
it
pissed
to
off.
Ohio. I don't know if they still got it in Ohio, Cleveland.
But you've had it up in Cleveland.
When I went up to do the Cleveland show, it was like the number one thing I would stop and
this
get outside
This is the
of
McChicken,
Chipotle.
Right? They have
McChicken
a spicy version of the McChicken.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I don't know why we don't have that here. It makes no sense to me. You're right. If I had it, maybe I could have put it on here, but I don't. It's not available here. I haven't had it. Sorry. Dylan, go ahead.
My number three, Tyvus alluded to it earlier. The best French fries in the game, Rally's French fries.
Bang.
Okay.
Bang. Right.
That's fine. That's good.
McDonald's close second.
I don't have either of those. I do have fries for my number two.
Oh, well, then it's, don't say Arby's curly fries.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to say. I'm exactly going right
overrated.
There.
Overrated.
I don't care what you think.
It's overrated.
They're not overrated. They're curly.
They're overrated.
They're curly.
Fries is mid.
Do you know what they give you at Arby's if you ask them? You could say, hi, I'd like Arby's curly fries and then a side of cheese to dip it in. And they will give you a cup of hot, gooey cheese. And you should dip the curly fry into the cheese and your pants explode off your body.
Really?
And you have a Nirvana experience is what you have.
They got cups of cheese?
Yes, they have cups of cheese. And you should do it.
I should go this week.
They serve beef and cheddars. Where do you think they get the cheese from? They just take some of that cheddar from the beef and cheddar and they put it in a cup and they give it to you.
I do that at Culver's.
Oh, that's good too. that's a pro move too. I'm just telling you, the curly fries with the cheese, that's my number two. Arby's, thank you.
Number two for me. And it could be number one, but number one, y'all know what my number one is because I got an addiction. But number two.
Uh-huh.
The second greatest fast food ever, and they need to bring it back, that Double Down from KFC. Boy.
I don't feel like, ooh, hang on. Wait. I don't feel like we should put ghost items on here.
What you mean?
That's not available.
It was available.
It's not now.
It's a thing. You said best fast food items of all time. Did you not ask me that?
Well, we did, but I thought we were sticking. Okay, that's fair. It's bad on my part. I didn't stipulate current because I mean... Sister's Chicken would have been on here if I had that, but that's gone. You don't even know what it is, right? Because it's gone.
Well, the Double Down is something that comes back. It comes and goes.
Sister's Chicken was Wendy's. They started a chicken joint to compete with like KFC.
When was this?
Back in the '80s. Here.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know it's before you were alive, but anyway. Dylan, number two.
Number two for me might be just because I'm obsessed with bacon, and it is the Wendy's Baconator. You get fresh patties of hamburger meat along with six pieces of bacon. Can't beat it. Mm. Except for one thing.
Oh, I got my number one. I'm going to tell you, it's probably going to piss you guys off. Not even a food item.
Oh,
it's a drink.
Don't say Baja Blast.
Yes, the Baja Blast. It's what America was founded on. Stuff like that. Yeah. Baja Blast. Does it taste like Baja? No. Does it taste like Blast? Absolutely not. But we're drinking it. It was made just for Taco Bell. It only goes with their food. If you have it with a cheeseburger, it doesn't taste right.
Mm.
Thank you, Taco Bell, for bringing us Baja Blast.
Have you tried having it with the cheeseburger?
No, and I never will. And you can't. No, I refuse. I refuse to let that happen. It goes with Taco Bell food. I'm never going to change.
A Baja Blast.
I will drink that. Yeah. I love Baja Blast.
Number one for me. And I want to hear this. We got a voicemail about it, too.
Yeah, we could play that next break.
Okay. The sweet and spicy wings from Popeyes. I mean, if you haven't had it, don't. Trust me. Don't do it. It's going to call you. You know how in the 80s it was a crack epidemic and everybody couldn't shake it? That's how them wings, I'm telling you, don't really? Do it. Don't do it. Just stay away because they are that good. They be calling me. I feel like Chris Rock on New Jack City. They just keep calling me, bro. calling me.
No, like Tyvus said, I was walking around in Walmart. I got an email. It was a voicemail. Someone said something about sweet and spicy wings at Popeyes. I immediately left Walmart, got in my car, went to Popeyes, and got some sweet and spicy wings at Popeyes.
So hang on. So Tyvus mentioned it on the air yesterday. Someone listening called our voicemail line.
Yes. No.
614-460-8010. No. He's saying you got a voicemail that you saw in your email.
He talking about a couple days ago.
No, we got another one.
We got one yesterday.
Yesterday afternoon, we got one.
And you got this voicemail. You saw the notification on your email, 614-460-8010, if you want to leave us a voicemail. And then that motivated you to go get these wings.
Yep. Left the cart. Didn't buy the items. Left the store.
Same.
Went to Popeyes.
The power of this radio show to influence the people on this radio show is tremendous.
I've always been aware. Me and Tyvus have been in cahoots about the sweet and spicy wings.
You'd had them before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. See, I still never. I got to go get them. I got to do it.
Don't do it, Bo.
Dylan, what's your number one? Is that it?
Yep. That's it.
Wow. What was the one you thought I should have? Did I not have
the nacho fries from Taco Bell?
No, they're fine. But you know what? And you know what makes them good? You know what makes them good, though?
The cheese.
They give you the cheese.
That's what I'm telling you.
Arby's does that, too. But they're curly, so they hold more cheese.
Man, go on with that.
I love a short and curly from Arby's. That's what I call it. Go right and say, give me a short and curly. And they go, get out of here. That's disgusting.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Our You Play This Summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
Scott McMullen leads the Buckeyes past Penn State in a 2003 Classic.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
It's the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
What were you just asking me in the break? Where did you get this poll?
I was on Instagram and okay. I seen this poll. And the poll is, which one would you rather for 6 months, Dylan?
6 months.
6 months. Would you rather 95-degree hot, sunny weather? 6 months of snow every day? Or 6 months of cloudy, rainy weather.
And probably what, like 50s? Something like that? 40s
says,
or 50s?
Cloudy, rainy, and no direct sunlight for okay. 6 months straight.
So it's probably not like 90 degrees.
Seattle.
It's probably, yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever Seattle's like.
If it's raining heavy, no to that. Hate the cold. I guess I would take the 95 degree weather.
I'd take the 95 degree weather.
I said the same thing.
I used to be a lot more pro warm weather. Recently, I'm starting to go the other way.
It was too hot for you this year.
Like, yes. Like, that's
really?
The sun beating down on you just does not feel good.
Didn't you go, though? Like, don't you at your house, don't you keep your house warm?
It's not 95 degrees and sunny in
all
there.
Right. How warm do you keep it at the house?
About 77 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's warm. I'm saying, it like, you're someone not opposed to the
it's
heat.
It's not 95.
And you will still say 95 is a little too much.
When it's 95 outside and I walk into my house, it feels like you walked into a refrigerator at the gas station.
That's true. I acknowledge that. Like, you can keep
people
it warmer
just
at the house.
Overkill. Like, you've trained people that are, there's going to be people that are going to be yelling, 77 degrees. My house is at 67 degrees. You just trained yourself. It wasn't necessary for you to do that.
Mm, yeah. Those people are named Common Man and Timmy.
Yes.
Listen to them from 3 to 6 p.m. every single day right here on The Fan.
So, like you two, I picked the heat. The heat had 43%, snow had 12%, and rain had 44%. So it's what rain.
Well, I know that's what afternoons would
the
pick.
Poll. And this is a poll.
They would pick cloudy and rainy and all that.
This
exactly
is a
rain.
Poll with 10,000 responses.
Okay, that's fine. I do. At least I like the fact that everyone agreed we don't want the snow. Like, because that snow's overrated. Like,
snow is something that you see. You want it for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you want to see it.
I was just saying,
once,
for like,
once that happens, you want it gone.
As someone who does participate in the holiday of Christmas, if it snows like a foot about 10 p.m. on December 24th, and then that snow stays and it's like 25 degrees out for December 25th, by like 10 p.m. December 25th, I want the heat to come back on. I want to be up sunny and 50 degrees on December 26th for Boxing Day, as our friends in the UK say. And I want all that snow to melt. And the rest of the week, I want it to push near 60 or 70 degrees. I'm done. Like, as soon as we hit Christmas Day, get that snow out of here. I don't want to see it again.
You don't wanna,
ever.
You don't want to go, like, sledding with your kids?
No, I'll do that on Christmas Day. What else are we going to do? We bought them presents. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, Santa. What? Ooh. We work together, us, me and Santa. And, yeah. We all work together on that. Nah. He doesn't visit Dylan's house, yeah. But he does visit mine.
Santa can go to hell. And I tell him.
Wow.
To.
Yes. Selfish. Selfish. All right. This is so Kurt Cignetti, Sigs, Indiana's head coach, went what? 16-0 last year, ran through the Big Ten, ran through the college football playoffs, won the national championship. Was he feeling his oats at Big Ten Media Day? Oh, yes, he was. This is what he said, kind of talking about some of the chatter in other conferences of college football.
The Big Ten is the best league in football, and a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right. And that's why we're the best.
I like it. I got to tell you.
I knew he was going to do it.
Good for him. Good for him. Who's got anything to say to that man at this point?
What can you say to him?
Nothing. And yeah. I'll take it a step further.
He went through the SEC, too, in his championship run. He beat Bama.
Yeah, he did. Did he? I'm sorry. You said he beat Bama. BTA. Like it was a close
game.
They
should have had Michael Irvin over there with the belt.
He beat Alabama the way that Alabama fans think they would beat, like, Purdue. You know what I mean? Like how all these SEC types are like, oh, in the Big Ten, you play these nothing football schools. Oh, you should come down south. Okay, they played one of your best teams and annihilated them for four. It wasn't even competitive. Yeah. So you can go ahead and miss me with all that you guys are this tough football conference. Now, obviously, I'm frustrated the Buckeyes lost to Indiana, and I get why Buckeye fans would be mad about that. We all should be.
You know that but it's only the closest games that Indiana played was, I think, Ohio State and Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. I forgot about the Iowa game. You're right. That was close. Now, here's my question, though, is, like, I don't get why Buckeye fans just started off, default position is this guy sucks. Because, I mean, yeah, Kurt Cignetti. Like, he came in with
a... people said that.
Don't you remember when Ohio State beat Indiana that first year? Will Howard's on the sidelines doing the...
Throwing the
cigarette out, like, putting it down on the ground and stomping on
it. Which was warranted.
Well, but I'm saying, why? Because all Kurt Cignetti did was say, I think we're good. Like, I think we're a good team, and I hope we go out there and win. And then, yeah, the Buckeyes beat them. And I'm saying, Buckeye Nation was
beat them?
Yeah.
They just beat them?
No, they dominated.
I was about to say,
they dominated Indiana that year. You're right. But I'm saying, like, all of Buckeye Nation was like, ha, 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 yeah, that's what you get. It's vitriol that I would think would be reserved for, like, a Michigan or a Penn State. And Cignetti got that from day one.
Now, I think that's more of a respect thing than anything else. You're not putting the cigarette out against a team that you don't care about.
Cignetti got that because Cignetti came in talking
crazy. And he said he wanted to smoke with Ohio State.
Or did he do... Now in year two, by the way, also want to point out, Urban Meyer didn't hand him a Ferrari of a program to run. He had to take Indiana football from nothing to 2 years later, undefeated in the Big Ten, the college football playoff, everything, and beat everybody in front of him and went 16-0 and won a championship.
Yeah.
And that guy, we're all saying, this guy talks too much.
Ooh.
Buckeye Nation, people seem to hate this guy.
First of all, since he got on the scene, I said, oh, I like this dude.
I do too.
I've been saying since 2 years ago, I said, that dude is Urban Meyer reincarnated. Exactly. I've been literally saying, I told you, I had a conversation, Leo DiCaprio, talking to Urban. And Urban's like, the guy is out of his mind. And I looked at Urban and I said,
that's you.
He's you. What are you talking about? And all he did Urban was laugh. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you Urban just went like to this.
Bowling Green in Utah and said, I think we're going to win. And that's essentially what Cignetti did when he got to Indiana. He was like, yeah, we can win.
I just wanted to pump the brakes on the people like Joshua Perry saying that he's already the greatest coach of all time.
Dude, he might be, man. He's done the greatest coaching job of all time.
Bone, we don't need to find you a side team. Ohio State's your side team.
You're not an Indiana fan now. Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
You think it's impossible for Ohio State to go into Bloomington and beat Indiana this year?
I never said that. You're lying.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every